Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. Today, our devotion is taken from Windows on God's World by James Tucker, and it's The Cricket, a Vocal Virtuoso. Praise the Lord from the earth, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Psalms 148, 7 through 10. To determine the temperature, count the number of times a tree cricket chirps in 15 seconds and add 40. Although crickets only sing when the temperature is between 55 and 100 degrees Fahrenheit, when they are singing, you can usually calculate the temperature to within a few degrees. The rate of chirps is often somewhat affected by the humidity, and there are differences between individual insects, but you will be very close. The song of the cricket serves to attract a mate, to maintain a territory, and also to enable individuals of various species to recognize one another. This song was once so esteemed that people in many countries kept crickets in cages, as we do songbirds. In China, for example, crickets were kept in cages so beautiful that they are now found in museums. One type of cage was made of gourds that were sewn inside bottles so that they took the shape of the bottle. Others were made of porcelain or ivory with carved jade lids. Bamboo and coconut shells made less expensive cages. During the time of the Chinese Empire, crickets were also kept in the royal palace. Today, caged crickets can still be found in Japan, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and in my classroom. Crickets make their songs by rubbing their feet on a file on the wing against the scraper on the other. When the sound of a cricket is analyzed by recording instruments, it is found that what seems like a series of individual chirps to the human ear is actually a complicated combination of vibrations and harmonics. One chirp of the common black field cricket actually consists of three or more pulses. Truly, it is wonderful. And God is wonderful, who can create one of his creeping things with such amazing abilities. Every sound made by the cricket is a note of praise to his creator, in that it tells us of the quality of his work in making the insect. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ability to go on the airwaves and talk about you, and talk about our precious children and things that we can do to help them grow closer to you. I also pray for a family that is destitute. They need a home, and I pray that that will open up for them. And I pray for another family that's experiencing health issues. Their dad's in the hospital, but they just don't know what it is. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for being with us. May our thoughts be your thoughts today. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So today, if you have a paper plate and some green paint, you're going to make a green cricket. And I have the pattern there, but just looking at the picture probably would give you an idea. The half of the paper plate is the body. You paint it all green, and then you can take the other parts and cut out the head and the legs and the little antenna, put some red construction paper eyeballs on it with little black dots in the middle, and you have a wonderful little cricket. I also put a little video there called C is for Cricket, and it's just some fun facts about the cricket. I know currently in my classroom we're studying insects in STEM, and two of the students have pet crickets. You can go to a pet store and you can buy cricket food. I didn't know if you knew that. It looks like little orange squares, and it has everything a cricket needs to survive. And indeed, we are doing experiments with when the crickets start chirping, you know, what the temperature is, and really having a great time. Crickets are one of the harder insects to draw, so I wouldn't start with drawing that. I know in our with our little group, I have only 6 students this year, and so it's a little light load for me, but I'm having so much fun because I can really be creative, and we are having so much fun with our bug unit in STEM. And I hope you have fun learning too. Curriculum Corner. So we're going to talk about Grammar Galaxy. If you're not into fantasy and you don't want your children to be exposed to that, this might not be the curriculum for you. But if you understand that God uses our imagination, in fact, we could not even understand salvation if we didn't have an imagination, then this might be a great language arts curriculum for you. So the way it's designed is it's based on, or it starts out on a third grade reading level. So if you're using it for younger children, you would read it to them. It has vocabulary, it has questions at the end, and it has these real engaging stories about Grammar Galaxy and the gremlin that comes in and messes up stuff. And so it just keeps them kind of on the edge of their seats. There's 6 volumes, and so you can have one for each year. And I think it'd be kind of cool, actually. I love things that have imagination in it. So Grammar Galaxy by Melanie Wilson is the curriculum that we are talking about today. Questions parents ask. So this question comes from Joanna, and she's just new to homeschooling. She's purchased a curriculum book from Walmart for her kindergarten child. And when you open the book, there's, you know, probably 50 things in the table of contents, starting with the letter A, going through the letter B, and then additional things, putting that all together with simple words. And she wants to know how she should schedule that. Well, I would plan to schedule that for the first half of the year. I'd make my tentative long-range plans just right out of that table of contents. And I would probably overlap. Like I would have 1 week be A, the second week be B, and that would take you through 26 weeks, but your child will begin to put simple words together, like then incorporate in your phonics lessons, spending 1 week on the short A sound. A is an apple. And then another week, the E sound. E is an elephant. So along with learning your alphabet, I would start incorporating how the sounds go. And at some point then at the second half, you might take and revisit the book, but go A, and then you would do some consonants with it. So you could do ma, and you could take the next vowel, meh, and take your letter and then incorporate it with the vowel sounds. I hope that that makes sense to you, but you could take something like that little book there that you purchased from Walmart, and you can make it into a fantastic phonics and reading book for your child. Well, now I have one more question, and that is a parent wants to know how to teach both sides of the story of the American Indians or the indigenous people. And this story about indigenous peoples really has played out in country after country. You look at Australia and the Aborigines, which were the indigenous people there. Or you look at Taiwan, and they have their own Aborigines, their indigenous people. And you look at America and the indigenous people. It is sad to say that the indigenous peoples were often mistreated, scooped up and put into reservations, and And it's a sin problem. So as you teach both sides, you're going to talk about that bad things happen to really good people. And you're going to talk about the sin problem, but on the child's level. Another question that kind of is related to scheduling is, how many hours a day are you spending homeschooling your child? And there's some rule of thumbs, but really a rule of thumb is just that. It's just somebody's made up idea that for kindergarten, you might spend an hour a day. For first grade, you might spend an hour a day. I mean, those, and then if you're kind of a OCD concrete sequential, then you might say, okay, then second grade has to spend 2 hours a day, and third grade has to spend 3 hours a day, and so on and so forth. That being said, if you spread it out a little bit more and actually have breaks and incentive times, you will get a lot more learning in. And so I would do at least the morning would be, you know, from 9 to 12 would be our school time. And if you're in kindergarten, you have a lot less time and you have more play, creative time that you do. But you still, when you go start working with the clay, you still might have to first make the letter of the day or the letter of the week or something that begins with that sound. And when the others are working harder on their math, you might be having that kindergarten go around and look at how many items in the home begin with the letter that you are studying for the day or the week. So you take and you really build it that way. Well, we have to go to break. We are going to be talking with Bonnie Sala, and you're going to love the book she's promoting, 40 Unstoppable Women and How to Change the World. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Bonnie Sala, and we are talking about 40 Unstoppable Women Who Changed the World. And of course, each woman, I think, in her heart of hearts, wants to be that dynamic change agent. So maybe as we talk about these women, it will inspire. And then instead of 40 unstoppable women, exponentially, it's 140 unstoppable women. You can go to guidelines.org. That's all spelled out, GUIDELINES.org, to learn more. You know, as I think about the power of women, even in my church today, it's the women who are really doing the ministry. The men are busy providing for their families, and the women are doing the ministry. So what does it mean in your book? And your book was written by your father?
Yes, the book, 40 Unstoppable Women Who Changed the World, was authored by my father, Harold Sala. He'll be celebrating his 84th birthday next month, and he's been in radio for over 50 years, so his voice is getting a bit tired. And I said I would be happy to come and talk about his book. It's really an honor for me. I lead our ministry, Guidelines, now in its second generation, so I'm so honored to be following in my father's footsteps, and it's a joy for me to get to talk about these women of faith.
And you will, you know, be the 41st unstoppable woman who has changed the world. And you also are a homeschool mom.
I certainly was. My homeschool boys are now 27 and 30-year-old men. But yes, I have many happy memories of homeschooling. I'm very grateful that God called me to that.
And now more than ever before, people are homeschooling. Yes. There's a myriad of reasons why they've chosen to educate their own children.
Yes.
Of course, I firmly believe that the best school is the home. And even if you send your child to traditional school, you are still the number one teacher.
That's
the
right.
Parents
That's
are the
right.
number one teacher. Okay, so let's go back to the book. What does it mean that we are called to an unstoppable life?
Well, I think that what you will see when you read the book is that these women were unstoppable because of the power that was within them. It was not their own power, their own strength. In many of these cases, these were not women that had incredible backgrounds or educations or resources. They were, number one, women who said yes to God and who allowed themselves to be used by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting, and the reason that my dad wrote this book, is because he realized that young women like his granddaughter, we have one granddaughter in our family, all the rest are grandsons. She's a young woman, 27 years old, just starting out her career as a physician. And he realized that by and large, she might not know the names of these 40 women whose stories he tells in the book. And it's important for the younger generation to know about these women of incredible faith. They were women of courage, of grit, but most of all, of faith. And he really wanted to provide their stories as just encouragement, especially for younger women today.
You know, don't you think that in our culture through the ages, you know, women have been property, women have been like, you know, the second class citizens.
Yes.
And it's been men like your father that have said, hey, we need to give some recognition. And it really helps with the sense of God worth that
yes.
women can have.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's your first woman in there?
Well, our very first...
We won't tell them all. We
don't have time for 40. I can share some stories of several of my favorites. The first woman that does appear in the book is a woman by the name of Johnny Erickson Tada. You know, to perhaps our homeschool
yes.
moms out there, we know the story of Johnny, but you know, your young daughters may not know her story, who of a young woman at age 17 was paralyzed in a diving accident, and she is a quadriplegic, meaning that she spends her life in a wheelchair. But what a life of dependence and of service to God has Johnny Erickson Tada's life been. She's been an incredible advocate for the disabled. She has a ministry that provides wheelchairs around the world. She's worked with our government on the American Disabilities Act. She has been an incredible world changer because she said yes to the suffering in her life. She urges us to remember that trials have more meaning than you realize. You know, when she was first had that accident and she lay trapped in that bed, she had no idea of the ministry that God really had planned for her. And of course, the eventual freedom that she's looking forward to.
Yes. You know, I just went through with my listeners a short devotional that she wrote called Beside Bethesda. And you can't really imagine the frustration it might be to be trapped in your body. I
yes.
can't imagine it. And yet she did everything that she could for God. And
you know, I'd love to share a quote of hers. She says, leave God's hands on the wheel of your life from start to finish, so everything follows his intention for your life.
Amen. Now we could end the interview right there and we would have said it all, right? So talk about Corrie ten Boom.
Corrie ten Boom is a woman that our daughters, granddaughters need to know about. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch woman living in the Netherlands at the time of World War II. As the Jews began to be singled out and, you know, made to wear the yellow star, she and her family, she lived with her father and her unmarried sister, began to take in Jewish people and hide them in a closet, a secret hidden closet in their home. And unfortunately, they were discovered. They were sent to concentration camps. Her father died just within a week or so. She and her sister Betsy were in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And toward the end of the war, unfortunately, Betsy did pass away in the concentration camp. But just about a week before the end of the war, Corrie was miraculously released through a paperwork error. God did a work of incredible reconciliation in her life. And she actually became a speaker that traveled around Germany right after the war, speaking on forgiveness.
Mm.
And one story just really will stand out in the lives of anyone that reads her biography. And that is one evening she was speaking in a church. She had finished giving her message about forgiveness and reconciliation. And she recognized a man walking toward her, reaching out his hand to greet her. The man was dressed in a business suit, but she didn't see a man in a business suit. She saw a man in an SS uniform. He was one of the guards that had been in Ravensbrück and had specifically cruelly mistreated her sister. He reached out his hand in greeting to her, saying, "Fräulein," and she said, she had to breathe a prayer in that instant, saying, "Lord, there is no way I can reach out my hand in forgiveness to this man." And she told how the Holy Spirit just came over her and she saw her hand shoot out and was just filled with compassion and forgiveness for this man. Incredible what God can do, incredibly, in our lives when we're willing to say yes to him. She was willing to be made willing to forgive, and God did that work in her life. And she was able to reach millions with messages of reconciliation and great faith in Christ throughout the rest of her life.
So we've talked about being imprisoned. You know, yes. Whether you're imprisoned in your body, imprisoned actually in a prison, whether you are imprisoned in your circumstances. And now we've talked about that horrible pain that someone might have inflicted on you, might be emotional, might be physical, and how forgiving them actually releases you from a burden. So I'm thinking and connecting the dots in my own life as
Absolutely.
You're speaking, but have you had a personal experience where those messages really came to you in a time?
Well, you're asking that personally of
Yes.
myself. As a matter of fact, I have. I have a story which is not in the book, but it may be in a book one day. God actually brought me through a 27-year abuse of an adulterous marriage. Mm. And so I have known the presence of Jesus and the deliverance and the freedom of forgiveness in my own life. And you know, so many of the women in our book, Darlene Diebler-Rose and Gracia Burnham, there are stories of women who were, you know, in a Japanese internment camp. Gracia Burnham, she and her husband were missionaries in the Philippines that were abducted by terrorists and held for over a year. And her husband actually was killed during that period of confinement. Mm-hmm. Many, many stories of God enabling women and people to go through great pain, great tragedy, and yet his presence not only took them through that, but they received the gift of being able to forgive and to go on to lives of great joy. And story after story is such an encouraging reminder that God's presence makes all the difference, no matter what our life circumstance.
That is such a great note to end this part one of our interview, because I don't think anyone escapes pain on this earth.
No.
You know, this is an enemy occupied planet.
That's right.
So this is great material. We're talking to Bonnie Sala. You can go to the website guidelines.org, and she's talking about a book her father wrote called 40 Unstoppable Women Who Changed the World. Please come back tomorrow for the second half of this interview. Hey, thanks for being with us. I hope you'll take advantage of our offer. A donation of any amount put through the homeschoolcompanion.org website. The donation is there in the left-hand corner at the bottom. And we will send you a book, 40 Unstoppable Women and How They Changed the World. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.